Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John and chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And it would not be an Easter Sunday if all three of our musketeers that make up our clergy team were not with us. And it is my joy, as always, to welcome Helen and say happy Easter, Helen.
Happy Easter, everybody.
It is so good to have you with us. And I'm going to duck out and we're going to enjoy what you have to share this morning.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Well, what a woman is Mary Magdalene. She is my definite favourite biblical female. And she's such an important person, isn't she, in these passion narratives. She is so, so amazing and wonderful. She is a woman. Now, in first century Judea, if a man stood up in court, his word would be accepted. But if a woman, well, she couldn't even stand up in court, a woman's word would not be accepted in court. A woman was not the lowest of the low. I suppose slaves would be the lowest, and then children. But she's well down in the pecking order. So Mary is a woman. She had seven demons cast out by Jesus. So she was a woman with history. We don't know what those seven demons were about. They may have been mental illness, spiritual illness. We don't know. She is now healed and amazing. She is the major eyewitness, or a major eyewitness, to the Passion events. And she is there at the foot of the cross with other women and, of course, the beloved disciple. She follows when Jesus' body is taken down from the cross and put in the tomb, so that she knows the position of the tomb. Then she goes to the tomb and she finds a stone rolled back and it's empty. And she is also a witness to Jesus as he is when he is resurrected. Then also she runs to tell the other disciples, and she is rightly called the apostle to the apostles. Well, if you wanted to make this story up in first century Judea, if you wanted to invent the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead and been seen by his friends, you certainly wouldn't choose the primary witness to be a woman, and especially not a woman like Mary Magdalene. And so I think that this shows how true the resurrection is. Great. Well, let's have a little look at Mary. She is coming to the tomb. Now, she comes to the tomb while it's still dark, before dawn. And darkness, night, has symbolic meaning for John the Evangelist. She is still in spiritual darkness. She doesn't know, she doesn't see the truth. And that's another symbol that John uses. You see or you're blind. You're blind to the truth or you see the truth. And she hasn't seen yet. And having found the tomb empty, she runs to tell the news to the others, and follows Peter and the beloved disciple back to the tomb. They look in, don't see anything, and go back. She watches them go away. She goes into the tomb and she sees two angels. The angels speak to her, but she kind of doesn't understand still. She can only feel the pain of her loss. She's desperate to find Jesus's body. Many of you will have lost a nearest or dearest, and you will know that the pain is like a stone in your chest, a stone in your heart. Well, I want you to imagine, I want us to imagine we're standing outside the tomb alongside Mary, and behind us in ranks and ranks are all who suffer the world's pain and grief. And we're all loaded with the pain of loss. And we're standing there, and then we see the gardener, and we all cry out to him variously, "They've taken away my Lord. They've taken away my land, my home, my husband, my children. They've taken away my innocence, my dignity, my freedom. They've taken away my rights, my hope, my life." And then each one of us standing there hears our names spoken. Listen for Jesus calling your name. Feel the love, acceptance, compassion in his voice. And let the healing flow. Well, it is certainly a beautiful story, isn't it? And one that makes us glow with happiness. But what's actually happening here? Mary thinks she's seen the gardener. And of course, in a way, she's right. Jesus was tasked with bringing new order to the chaos of God's broken creation, bringing it into flower, into flourishing, into fruitfulness. And the stone is rolled away. It's as if a door is swung open and we are invited to step through onto the other side to a new country, which is called the Kingdom of God. It's amazing, an amazing truth. And here's another one. When Jesus was raised from the dead by God, he was human. He was raised in his humanity. That means that Jesus is kind of like a bridge between God and humanity. And it means that we can be in God's presence, just as Jesus is. God with us in the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are actually caught up in the Holy Trinity. Well, a couple of truths about Jesus's resurrection, but what about the meaning for us in the country we live in now, in 21st century Britain, in our here and now? Well, firstly, this resurrection means that death can't defeat us. We still face death, of course, and God, Jesus, waiting on the other side of it. Our relationship restored with God. Jesus said many times, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, therefore, of death, of defeat, of annihilation, of powerlessness, of simply not being there anymore. Don't be afraid. Jesus said, I am with you always to the end of the age. And that is the great Christian hope, the sure and certain hope of eternal life, brought about by Jesus's resurrection. And secondly, the fact that Jesus is alive and at large in the world means that for us, transformation is possible. Have you ever felt trapped in old, unworkable ways of being? Caught up in addictions? Drawn to unhelpful behaviours? Unable to sustain healthy relationships? Lots of things. Well, God with us means that we can journey into becoming the people that God created us to be. We can find healing, forgiveness, wholeness. We can begin anew. And we will have resurrection moments if we look out for them. When we are aware that we're actually sharing our lives with God. And metaphorically, maybe, or even actually, we hear Jesus's voice calling our name, asking us to lift our face from staring at the ground. Look up, be aware. The world becomes electric with the presence of God, and our own lives are touched and changed. Those resurrection moments are available to all of us. And when this happens, we don't cling. We are sent, like Mary, to tell what we've seen, to speak of what we have experienced. And it's our job now to build the bridges of love that will enable others to hear this voice, this compassionate voice, this loving voice of Jesus, and to recognize the vast, free, faithful love of God at large in the world. That's our job. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.